Should Britain trust the U.S. as a trading partner?
No, I actually think it would probably be a waste of time.
And why unemployment in India is a ticking time bomb.
You know, there aren't probably going to be enough jobs by the year 2030, so please don't have children.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz has updated his best-selling book on globalization to take account of the Trump presidency. In 2002, he argued globalization leaves many behind. Now he's warning President Trump's America First policy isn't the answer. Speaking to the BBC, Stiglitz said the UK shouldn't count on the US as a trading partner post-Brexit.
I actually think it would probably be a waste of time to begin negotiating with him. If you look at what he has been putting forward as our negotiating positions in the NAFTA discussions, you get a feeling of how much of a waste of time it would be. He's proposed that NAFTA be a five-year agreement. Businesses can't move in with the confidence that there's going to be another agreement in another 5 years. I mean, it is so absurd. Even the business community have come down and said this is a non-starter.
Mr. Stiglitz said Donald Trump's assertion that he's the world's greatest trade negotiator doesn't stand up to scrutiny.
In the past, there's been a lot of bipartisanship in trade policy. Bush negotiated NAFTA, and then Clinton got it through Congress. What Trump has done is thrown a hand grenade into international trade relationships, said he's going to renegotiate even WTO, and has put a block in the reappointment of the judges in the WTO.
Economist Joseph Stiglitz. Let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe are down across the board. Germany's DAX is down 130 points or 1%. Brent crude is up 1% at $63.34 a barrel after OPEC and major oil producers agreed to extend output cuts. Now, on the first day of summer in Australia, residents in the south hope there'll be no more power cuts. Tesla has just connected up the world's biggest lithium-ion battery powered by wind to the country's grid. Here's the state premier, Jay Weatherill.
We stand tall on the world stage, exercising the function of leadership in relation to renewable energy. And we're very proud of it, and the nation should be proud of it.
The BBC's Mariko Oi has more.
It all started as a bet on Twitter, basically, when South Australia suffered from some power cuts. Elon Musk, of course, the boss of Tesla, said that he would try to help them. And an Australian software entrepreneur said, "Are you serious about this?" And Mr. Musk said, "Yes, I am." And he promised to build this massive battery within 100 days. It's a 100 megawatt battery. And Mr. Musk says that it is three times more powerful than the next biggest battery around the world, and it can power 30,000 homes in an hour.
The BBC's Mariko Oi. This week, India's growth rate rebounded slightly, coming in at 6.3%. But much of that growth is jobless. And with the world's largest youth population, the country needs to create millions of new jobs each month just to absorb young people. The BBC's Rahul Tandon reports from Kolkata.
Hi, yes, this is Sumit Arora here.
Like millions of young Indians, Sumit Arora is looking for a job. The phone keeps ringing, but the offers never come. Born in Kolkata, until recently he'd been working in the Middle East. He moved back thinking India's booming economy would make it easy for him to find employment. That has not been the case.
The market is really bad. I thought Calcutta was bad, but I think Delhi is equally bad now. I tried in Mumbai as well, and it's been really increasingly difficult for me to get employment in India. So I'm looking to move back to the Middle East.
Sumit has the option to leave and look for work elsewhere. Most Indians don't. Every morning, Vishwanathan stands on these streets, hoping that a truck will take him up for work at one of the city's construction sites. He says in the current economic climate, it's almost impossible to find a job.
Some people get jobs by paying bribes, others because they have influential friends. But for me, I'm not getting any opportunities.
The slowdown in the Indian economy means there's a lot of competition for the few jobs that are available. I've come to the offices of a successful small IT company in South Kolkata. It's run by Vidal Proti, who says they get calls every day from people desperately looking for work.
We get applications even when we are not advertising for our jobs.
Is automation going to impact on that creation of jobs? Because India needs to create millions of jobs.
It's going to impact them in a serious way. automation in terms of call centers, for instance. Messaging systems are going to be automated. India's got a huge population of young people working in this industry. That's going to hurt.
Mudur Pateria is one of this country's leading business analysts.
The story needs to be told that, you know, there aren't probably going to be enough jobs by the year 2030, so please don't have children. Or even if you do have children, please retain your savings so that you can actually graduate to a lower quality of life, or rather a lower income, to be able to see those days too.
When the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi swept to power, he promised the people of this country that good days were just around the corner. People here are beginning to wonder if he's ever going to be able to fulfill his promise. In Kolkata, I'm the BBC's Rahul Tandon for Marketplace.
Finally, surf's up for US-based Quiksilver as it tries to buy Australian rival Billabong, whose own fortune suffered a major wipeout with massive financial losses and a jail sentence for its former CEO for fraud. Those two companies, both big surfware suppliers. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.